It's the Score North Twin Show.
Score North Extra Innings. Declan Goff here from Target Field. AJ Fredrickson from his home abode, from his home clubhouse, if you will. How's that clubhouse looking, Age? I know you got. I know you're a big twin bed guy. We've had. I'm not airing out, you know, personal things here, but I know Age loves his twin bed.
Yeah,
so you got
you
the twin bed. You got AJ. You got the microphone and the door. Is that basically the extent of this bedroom here?
So this is like the what could be a spare room / office type thing. We've got okay. You know closet. There's a futon back here in this area. It's you know it's just kind of a it's kind of a Bermuda Triangle of the Fredrickson abode. So,
okay.
But you know, similar to this room being in the Bermuda Triangle, kind of like the twins. Because are they good? Are they finally turning things around, or is it just the White Sox? Who knows?
It's a good point. Yeah, we are kind of in this Bermuda Triangle of they have beaten the White Sox the last two nights. Yesterday was a little weird, and we can get into it to a degree. Now you have two more left. They are going to face a left-hander on Wednesday. We won't preview that game, but at the same time, the Twins have been able to get some wins. They've won three of their last four. If you really want to grasp at successful stories here, and they're going to go hit the road after tomorrow. So, yeah, there's some things that have happened here. But, yeah, how much of it can you really take away? But let's start here, Age, because last night, even though the Twins had the walk-off win, I think the biggest talker coming away from that, besides the walk-off, was Pablo Lopez, and the fact his velocity was significantly down. Now, he did have a 38-pitch inning. He threw a ball away on a pickoff attempt. He told us afterwards that he just wasn't in a good spot mentally. He said he wasn't in a good spot mentally during that start, and that's what then led to the disastrous inning. That's what led to the dip in velocity by the end of the start, and that there's nothing to fret with his arm or with any other type of thing here. Judging from what I saw in the clubhouse afterwards and what I saw today from Pablo, who was at his locker and seemed in chummy spirits, didn't seem like he was trying to hide from the media per se, didn't seem like he was down in the dumps. He looked very much like Pablo. And Rocco Baldelli said even during his availability on Wednesday afternoon that, you know, it's something to we'll monitor it with him. And, you know, he should be fine and nothing's new to report there. But something with my sense doesn't add up, basically, is what I'm trying to say. This doesn't add up that everything is just hunky-dory and okay, and Pablo Lopez will go back out there on Sunday and shove. Now, if he does against the Angels, throw this video right back in my face, and I'll be proven idiot like I have been numerous times in my life. Mm-hmm. But something doesn't seem quite right here, Age. And to me, losing Pablo Lopez would be just as bad as obviously losing Carlos Correa, which you have, Royce Lewis, like the next guy in line, and maybe more important than those two guys would be losing Pablo Lopez for an extended period of time.
I don't like when the Goff tingling spidey sense goes
spidey
off.
Senses?
Nothing good ever happens when you get that little tingle. It's concerning. I would like to say that we can take him on his word. Unfortunately, we've seen players, athletes, whether it's baseball, any other sport in the past, maybe they just alter the truth just a bit, just to do a little damage control. Maybe they think something is salvageable at the moment where it's not as big of a concern, where we need to actually like share it into the world and push that narrative forward. I would like to think, hopefully, it's just it is something personally, something mentally. He was off that day. Maybe he watched the Green Mile and he was torn up at the ending or something like that. Something like hit him emotionally. And he just wasn't prepared in the mind space to go out as a killer alpha pitcher for the Twins, that ace that they need. I hope that's it. If it's not like the title that you have on the video today on the episode for today, they can't afford to lose him. This is a team that so far has taken punch after punch. They're a boxer in like the seventh round right now, and we've already had to cut above the eye. The lip is bleeding. You can tell they're limping out of the corner. They are on their last legs, it seems like, and you know, maybe we need to wake something up. You saw the bats past couple nights wake up 7-0 win and a 6-5 walk off. You know, they wake up in the right time, so to speak, with that Byron Buxton home run late in the game last night to tie things before the eventual walk off winner. But we need to see Pablo Lopez next time he's out against the Angels be Pablo Lopez.
Yeah,
Pablo. I mean, it's similar to it's similar to kind of what you saw with the Wild this season, where it's like the Gus bus and you see the commercials and all this stuff. The Twins, I know they have a Pablo Day promotional thing going on where you can get your own Pablo Day jersey and all this stuff. You can't afford to lose a guy like that. You know, he's got a promotional thing around him for a reason. He's that key into the giant cog that is like the machinery Minnesota Twins. If he springs off, you might as well just, shut the whole machine down because he is that crucial to this lineup, into this starting rotation. He is a massive piece to this club.
Yeah, and look, they sent down Louis Varland to AAA, who has some things to work on, obviously. David Festa is one of their more ready-made pitching prospects who misses a lot of bats, but he is far, in my opinion, still far away from being a finished product that you can rely upon at the major league level. So if it was a case where you lost Pablo Lopez for an extended period of time, you would be in serious trouble rotation depth-wise. I mean, Joe Ryan's going to throw on Wednesday. Bailey Ober, I think, has put that poor start behind him. Chris Paddock had his best start of maybe his career on Monday, but again, against the White Sox, so what really can you glean there? A loss to Pablo Lopez makes things very difficult in the starting rotation and would maybe even force the hand of Derek Falvey to try to maybe even bring in something just to get an innings eater in it, because, man, I don't know what the answer would be there at that point. I mean, Simeon Woods-Richardson's lined up to start Friday when they hit the road in L.A., so he will start for Louis Varland, who was sent down, most likely. That hasn't been officially announced, but that's what it seems to be. So losing Pablo Lopez would be, pretty much catastrophic, and they could get by for maybe a week or two, but if it's a significant injury in age, we see pitchers in baseball right now dropping like flies. All these good pitchers are just coming down with injuries, and Pablo's just stat lines, honestly, since opening day have just not been up to snuff, up to sniff, up to where Pablo Lopez should be shoving for the Twins. So I think it's going to be all right. I hope it's all right. But it's something to monitor here on Sunday, and hopefully, put your tin caps on, cross your fingers, I don't know, whatever lucky ritual, burn something. I don't care what you do. But if Pablo Lopez is lost for an extended period of time, this Twins team is going to be significantly in trouble. And it would just be like another gut punch. And if the Twins are indeed maybe turning some things around, wins are wins, so like I'll count the wins however they come. But if you lose, if you start turning things around, you lose Pablo Lopez, and then there's just another, like, when are these hits going to stop coming to the Twins?
Yeah, and if you want a silver lining, it's early in the season. I'm a big believer on, I'd rather have your big slump like two thirds of the way through the season, and it's like, oh, and then it's that get right maybe right before the playoffs. But maybe the next best time would be about what the Twins are doing right now, where it's, you're kind of right off the get-go, you're struggling, you're slow out of the gate. But how many times do you see, you head to Canterbury and that horse that just stumbles out of the gate, and all of a sudden, wow, and they're charging up the home stretch here, and all on the outside, it's the Twins, oh, the Minnesota Twins, oh, they're coming down the wire. And then they're in the winner's circle. They get the bouquet of flowers on them that you can don them over the mane, and all of a sudden, those Twins, they come from behind, and maybe late in the season, they charge up the AL Central standings and they make the playoffs. They maybe they get into the wild card if they're cutting it that close. But that's my silver lining here. But that is just the finding some type of optimism in what is a super long, tenuous baseball summer. So
Pablo would be lined up to start Sunday in L.A. for Game 3 of that finale. So obviously Joe Ryan going to start here today at Target Field on Wednesday. Bailey Ober will start the finale. Simeon Woods-Richardson slated to be the starter on Friday. And then Chris Paddock would get the ball Saturday. So we'll see if Pablo Lopez indeed takes the rubber on Sunday. And hopefully everything is all good. He's back to shoving and pumping out good pitches and is being the ace the Twins obviously need him to be. Okay, next injury note here. Yoan Duran was in the clubhouse on Wednesday. He did have his rehab assignments, or his first appearance in his rehab assignments, with the St. Paul Saints yesterday. And I know some people probably saw the box score. It wasn't pretty. He threw 27 pitches. The velo still at about 98, 99, which for most pitchers you'd be like, oh, well, that's awesome. But if you're Yoan Duran, you have to think, you have to scratch your head a little bit and say, is everything still okay here? He said he still feels physically fine. Keep in mind, he has really only seen live hitting for the first time from yesterday before since spring training. So I'm not too concerned with the outing per se of what happened in AAA, since it's kind of a one-off thing and he's just throwing a baseball for the first time. But I thought he would potentially join the Twins for that road trip. It doesn't sound like that's the case. So he's actually, I think, going to hang back and do another rehab appearance with the St. Paul Saints before between the time the Twins leave and they start that series in L.A. So Duran won't be ready yet to leave, which is not a cause for concern,
okay,
but something to monitor here also as the Twins try to get their closer back, get one of their most important bullpen arms back. The Twins' bullpen has mostly been pretty dang good this season despite the slow start, but getting Duran back would make life a lot easier because it just bridges wins and it bridges those innings a lot easier with Griffin Jacks, Brock Stewart, and Duran as your top three options.
I mean, and you want him back as soon as possible, but at the same time, you don't want to rush a guy like him back because you know how impactful he is, especially in that closing position, flamethrower. He can really shut down a ninth inning when you have that lead. It's as much as you maybe want him back, you have to just kind of sit on your hands, wait for doctors to say, go ahead, he's feeling fine. It's just about getting that work in and getting him back up to that MLB readiness to come in and throw 101, 102 on a consistent basis so that you don't have another long stretch where, hey, we don't have Duran in this bullpen. We don't have our crutch late in the game to really shut things down where we know we have to be the better team for 8 innings rather than 9 because we can just call this guy's number and guess what? We're going to dim the lights, hit the pyrotechnics.
No, I can't.
Phones are coming out and... I mean, hey, first off, also, how excited are you to see that intro for the first time this season at Target Field? It's so electric. So when he finally does come back, that is we just got to wait. Because I think once that banana goes from green to yellow and you can actually peel it and you can – that's for the record, that's the second time I've used the banana analogy today.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of it. Okay. But, just wait for him to come on back and – then it's just a matter of waiting for these other guys. Like, it seems, I know we just talked about potentially a Pablo Lopez style thing, but it seems like these other key guys, Dex, they're kind of right around the corner. They're up the block. You can see them waving. You see them on the horizon. And once you meet up, I mean, this team, why not them? Why not?
You know, Judd used the term treading water, used that today. He's used it before. And, you know, eventually the Twins were, I wouldn't say even treading water. They had to swim above water because of all the injuries that have happened. And, you know, can you now maybe start to tread a little bit? Can you stop swimming as heavily, you know, to a degree? I was never a good swimmer, so I'm not the one that probably should be making any swimming analogy. But with Duran coming back soon, Topa's going to have a rehab assignment too on Thursday. That was a big bullpen arm they got in the Jorge Polanco trade. Getting these guys back, yeah, there is something around the corner, seeing those two that are about to rejoin the Twins. You know, Carlos Correa is still probably a week plus out. Royce Lewis is going to meet with the doctor later this week as well that I talked about on another Score North Twin Show episode that you can find on this podcast and YouTube channel. So he's, hopefully going to have an update on a timeline of when he could return. So there's some good things. There's some positive things happening. And the Twins, if they take care of business here against the White Sox, I will say, you know, Wednesday's game is probably going to be their tougher one because they are facing a lefty, so it's going to be a right-handed heavy lineup for the Twins. We'll see what happens there. But if they can win 3 out of these 4 at least against the Sox and they take a series in L.A., I mean, they're going to face these White Sox again this time next week. So I like the Twins' chances of potentially, you know, starting a new year to a degree if they can get healthy and get right. And, yeah, to your point, Age, if that slump happened early, which was, you know, the first 15 games of the season, and now you start to get right a little bit and get hot at the right time, things are going to be okay. But, yeah, got to get these guys back, and hopefully the Twins are going to be in a much better spot.
And hypothetically, if they get to that point where they, like you said, they – you know, maybe they close out tonight or they close out tonight against the White Sox. They go on the road. They take like 2 or 3 against an Angels club. And they're kind of right back around that 500 mark, maybe just a smidge under. On one side, you're like, yeah, you know, the White Sox, you're supposed to beat them. The Angels, they have Mike Trout, but otherwise you're probably supposed to beat them. But on the other side of it, think about that winning feeling. It's still a W in the clubhouse. You go on in, you flip the music on, you know, it's a little more camaraderie, and that does a lot more than just raise your spot in the standings, add wins to your win total. It boosts the energy. It kind of has that winning mentality. Guys are a little lighter on their feet walking out on the field. The bats just seem to be swinging a little better. The balls are popping off the bat a little bit farther. Wins are wins at the end of the day. And value them at what you want. You probably should be winning these games against two relatively bad teams. One of them right now historically bad in the White Sox, but it's still something to build off of, even if it's a pretty small stepping stone. You know, stepping stone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get going.
One more injury update here that I did not share on today's episode of the Score North Twin Show that we'll get into right now, and we kind of knew this too from the Athletics reporting from Aaron Gleeman, but Brooks Lee does have a herniated disc. He is currently in Fort Myers. Apparently, we met with Derek Falvey yesterday for about a half hour, the reporters did, and he's on this very specific kind of return-to-play plan with the doctor that did the surgery. And I think he's, like, halfway through phase one. Was very unclear of, like, how many phases and how many weeks this is going to be a thing for Brooks Lee. But he's doing some light swinging. He has had back issues before. That's what helped, not helped, that's what kind of plummeted his draft stock to do. And that's where the Twins grabbed him a little later than people originally thought, because a lot of people viewed Brooks Lee as a top three pick. I think he fell to the Twins at pick eight, so there was a little bit of a surprise there. It is worth mentioning the herniated disc location in Brooks Lee's back is not necessarily correlated or related to the previous back injuries he had in the pre-draft process, but still Brooks Lee probably out for, I don't know, the next month indefinitely, and then we'll probably get another check-in. But he's had previous back injuries before. Just a pretty big blow to the Twins, considering if when Royce Lewis went down, it seemed like Brooks Lee would have been the logical guy to call up to the Twins. But Brooks Lee on the mend. We'll see what happens. We'll see if he's able to get back. No surgery, I asked. I mean, it was surgery on the table, and they said no. So he is rehabbing this because, I mean, any type of surgery on a herniated disc in a back is an automatic about a 6 month of just recovery alone before you can even, you know, be a human again, let alone try to be a baseball player. So he's going to rehab this injury. He has a herniated disc. We'll see what happens in the next month or so on a timeline.
Do you know when, and you might not have this information, but when that was brought up about rehab or surgery or not, was there a we considered it type of thing, or was it just never even a question? Because I think that is a little more telling, too, maybe to the severity of it. Because if they say, no, it was never a question, we weren't going to do any surgery, then that's more promising than, you know, we kind of weighed our options and that type of lingo to maybe it is worse than they're letting on.
So, yeah, I mean, I asked straight up, there's no surgery option here, right? And they said, oh, no, this is rehab. So it made it sound like, yeah, it wasn't required. Now, if this rehab plan goes hanky and things aren't going too well, then maybe surgery is an option. And, again, that would be devastating because you're talking about a guy who, if he had surgery, let's say, in a few weeks here, I mean, I don't even know if he'd be 100% by the time spring training rolls around next year. I mean, a back injury, any type of back injury, as anyone knows, and especially for someone that's 22, 23, who's, going to heal a lot faster than someone, you know, in his 40s or 50s necessarily, having a back injury is obviously pretty devastating, and surgery on it would be bad too. So we'll wait and see. But, yeah, just for love of God, I would love to talk about a really good Twins player that is not injured or on the cusp of being injured, and I think I have accomplished all of that here in the last 20 minutes and for the majority of the last 3 weeks on the Score North Twin Show.
I would like to hope that there's only maybe like two or three phases to this rehab and not like for the wrestling fans, like a bloodline. We're in the third inning, but we're somehow a year and a half into this. So let's minimize the phases here. Even if it's phase A, 1A, 1B, let's minimize it. The less the better, because then at least for fans, for reporters, then it seems like there's a little hope on the horizon, not a, we are on step one of 37, even though step two comes around in 3 hours. Like, let's keep this to a minimum.
Age, you and I have been like the video game analogy guys for a lot of our extra inning show. Yesterday,
are we going to go three for three?
That's what I was trying to figure out of like what game are we? We're through the prologue and we've entered the main story.
We now? Okay. Not even that. We're developing GTA 6 here. It released in 2013. We don't need a brand new console and then another new console and then hey, we might have a trailer. There's a leak. No, I want an announce date for, hey, Grand Theft Auto 6, it's dropping, it's here. Not, it might happen, it might not, but it might be ready for PlayStation 8 in 2034. Like, it might be ready. No, let's go ahead and get something a little more concrete here, John.
Yeah, well, I'm with you there. Yeah, we'll continue as much as the video game analogies we can with AJ. Ross is going to ask me, we talked about this at the end of last week's show, he asked me my opinion yesterday about Cracker Jacks, and I mean, I've never heard of anyone under the age of, like, 86 that, like, seeks out Cracker Jacks. So he's going to ask me, like, ballpark stuff, I think, going forward.
Okay, all right.
Me and you might be able to, like, and we can, I don't know if we can continue the video game every single time, but we can figure out some type of funny little thing that we can continue to go on our Action Innings episodes, too.
Absolutely.
So I like it. Hey, hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button right here on the Score North Twinge channel. Just got us over to 2,600 subscribers, so thank you guys for helping us get there. We'll still have plenty of content coming your way. We'll have the series finale tomorrow against the White Sox. We have, of course, the Purple Daily Draft Party, which is just down the street here from Target Field tomorrow as well. So a lot of fun times. Timberwolves are kicking ass in the playoffs. I don't know what's going on in Minnesota sports. So a lot of good things happening. Hit that subscribe button. This is Score North Extra Innings. My name is Declan Goff. That's AJ Fredrickson. We'll be talking at you soon.